Radio.
A conversation with the Sisters of Life at the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015, held at the Adelaide Convention Centre.
Let's give it up for the Sisters of Life. We might start by just getting you guys to introduce yourselves and what brings you all the way to Australia this week.
Wow, my name is Sister Therese Marie, and I'm originally from New York, and we're here for this conference this week, and then after this, we go back to Sydney, and we'll be talking for another 2 weeks. We have another couple of conferences happening. Eyewitness is happening in Sydney.
For Sydney.
Yeah, we're going to be at Theology on Tap, talking at Le Pub.
Great.
And then also doing a women's retreat and a mother-daughter tea.
So someone is keeping you very busy whilst
yes.
you're out here. Any time to do anything relaxing or...
Oh, yeah. We heard the zoo is amazing.
In Sydney?
In Sydney.
Yep,
yeah.
Definitely.
So
Taronga
definitely
Zoo?
Yeah.
Yep. And yourself?
Yeah, my name is Sister Faith Marie, and I grew up in Chicago. And I'm living in New York right now. And same thing, I'll be on the same schedule as the other sisters here, heading back to Sydney on Sunday.
Great. And what's the weather like from where you both come from at the moment in comparison to what you're experiencing here?
Oh, we're dreaming of a white Christmas.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We do as well, but there's no chance of it. So you'll be back home before Christmas, obviously.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Well, it's a shame you can't experience our 40-degree Christmas that we will most likely have.
It's nice to get a little bit of it in Advent, though.
Yeah. Yeah. So tell us about why join the Sisters of Life.
So the Sisters of Life, so like all religious communities that you know, we take the three traditional vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience. But as Sisters of Life, we take a special fourth vow, which is known as our charism. So a charism is a fancy way of saying a gift from the Holy Spirit. It's kind of like the Lord looks down, he looks at the world, and he says, what does the world need right now? What does the church need right now? So we were founded in 1991 by John Cardinal O'Connor, and our charism is to protect and enhance the sacredness of all human life, from the moment of conception until natural death. Really just to let people know that life is sacred, that each one of us matters, that we matter to the Lord, and that we're here for a reason. And so all of our prayers is offered and sacrificed for that purpose, and then all of our apostolic missions. So we give retreats, but we also serve women who are in crisis pregnancies and just really give them the love and the support that they need. And it's really amazing because when you love like that, she then has the emotional food really to love the unborn child within her and to choose life. So we're privileged to work with so many women that just make heroic choices to love. And our Mother Superior always says that a woman who knows she is loved can do anything. And it's really true. We see it all the time. There's so many stories of grace. But we also have another mission to serve women who have already suffered from abortion and our Hope and Healing mission. And that's another beautiful mission really to help bring them back to the sacraments and back to God's mercy and God's love. And help them to see that there's no sin too big that the Lord can't forgive.
Yeah, just tagging on to that. So we are a contemplative active community, which is kind of a rare thing. But we pray 4 hours a day, and we also have active work. So all of our works spring forth from our life of prayer. So every day we pray, have the opportunity and privilege to pray the Divine Office, and we pray in the chapel together. We live community life really strongly, and we also, the Eucharist is such a huge part of our prayer life. So we have adoration every day, pray a holy hour every day, and then from that, we are filled with Jesus' love to go forth and pour forth that love and energy into our missions, into our apostolate. So yeah, the Eucharist is really like the source and summit, like the center of our lives.
Yeah. Yeah, when we think about so many religious orders, we come up with a perception of what they do. And I think when we think of you guys, we think you must be meeting some young women who are in some really tough places and are looking for some support. So, I mean, what kind of stories have you really come across with young women?
There's so many amazing stories, and God is totally at work in their lives. Like, even just the fact that they got in touch with us, our superior loves to say that, you know, God loves pregnant women, that he rolls out the red carpet. And there's a story, we call it Miracle on 66th Street, because it happened around Christmas time, and we live on 66th Street in Manhattan. And there was a girl that called us up. You know, she had other children, and she was really confused. She didn't know what to do. She talked to the sister for about 45 minutes on the phone. And at the end of the conversation, they made an appointment to meet the next day. But the woman was very honest with her. I'll call her Maria. And Maria said, you know, I'll make this appointment with you, but I don't know if I'm going to keep it. You know, I might just you know, have an abortion tomorrow. I'm not sure what I'm going to do. So she got off the phone, and of course the sisters went to everybody else and was like, we got to pray, you know, and so they started to pray, you know, just totally asking the Lord to intercede. And the next day, Maria decided that she was not going to come to see us, that she was going to go to the clinic instead. So her friend picked her up, and she gave her friend the address, put it in the GPS. They started driving, and Maria just kind of put her head down, put her hat over her head, closed her eyes, but she prayed. And she said, God, if you don't want me to do this, please give me a sign. And when she opened up her eyes where they arrived, she saw one of our sisters coming out of the convent, and she looked and she realized that she had given her friend the wrong address. She gave her friend our address, which we know is actually the right address. So that was her sign. And so she was like, all right, I guess I'm supposed to go in there and meet with the sisters. So the two of them went in, and they met again for another hour, 2 hours, however long it took. And basically what we try to do is just listen to them, just hear what's on their heart, because a lot of times nobody else is. You know, no one's talking to her about her fears, her struggles, what's happening, what kind of support does she need, what's her dreams, you know, what's her hope, you know, how can we be there for her and make this happen? So she still had a lot of concerns, and we said, what would you like to do? And she said, I think if I move to Florida, because we were in New York, and so that's a couple states away, my sister's there, and I think I could make a new beginning. So we were like, all right, let's see if we can help make that happen. So we have a very large network of volunteers that we call our coworkers of life. So what we did was we sent out an email, and we said, we have a young woman, she's 4 months pregnant, she has other children, and she'd like to move to Florida. Who can help? And within 15 minutes, no joke, this is how the Lord works. People are so generous. One person responded was, you know what? I have an open house that she can stay in for a couple of months. Another person said, I want to donate her a car. Another person said, I want to hire a truck and drive all of her stuff down. Another person said, I want to give her frequent flyer miles. And so literally within that day, God had a total plan set out for her. And we were just able to be a part of that and witness that for her. But it was through her yes, you know, it was through that little prayer that she uttered, and God hears every prayer. So that's just one of the amazing stories that we see all the time of God's grace.
Yeah, you know, when you're saying that, you're reminding me of a story from our Hope and Healing mission. And again, that's the mission where we journey with men and women who have suffered the effects of abortion after their lives. And it's a painful experience. It's one that a lot of times the culture doesn't recognize or validate. And so we have a lot of retreat days and days of prayer and healing where we invite people, particularly women, to come and just like encounter Jesus again and his mercy and his love and his forgiveness and his healing. And so, you know, on these retreats, one of the things that we do is have something like concrete and tangible for the women, because abortion is such kind of like is a hidden thing that's happened, and there's not really a concrete. It's something that they live with themselves inside. And so one of the things that we do is they carry rocks. At the very beginning of the retreat, they pick out a rock that kind of symbolizes their pain or their sorrow, their burden, and they carry it with them the whole time. And at the end of the retreat, we have in the chapel this like beautiful large image of divine mercy, and they lay their rocks at the feet of Jesus, like laying their burdens down. So at the end of the retreat, the sisters gather the rocks, and they take them and throw them into a large body of water, you know, like Jesus casting sins to the depths of the sea. And so the sisters were waiting to, you know, throw these rocks into a local pond nearby. And so one day they decided, you know, today is the right day. It was a rainy Monday morning. And they go over to the little pond, and they start chucking these rocks into the bottom of the pond. And there's two women who are walking around the pond, and it's kind of like an odd thing. You know, you don't normally see nuns throwing rocks, like really large, large stones into the bottom of a pond. So they came over, and they're like, hey, what are you doing? And the sisters said, just kind of explained what they were doing. These rocks are from our retreat. They're from women have carried them who've suffered an abortion, and kind of described what was going on. And one of the women started to cry. And as they introduced themselves, we found out that they were sisters. They were blood sisters. One was an Episcopalian minister, and the other, her blood sister, we found out was pregnant and really having a hard time with her pregnancy, really having a hard time thinking about giving birth to this child, choosing life for this child. And so the sisters just said, can we pray with you? And they said, yeah. So they prayed together, and they parted ways and didn't see each other again. And a couple years later, the sisters got a call from an Episcopalian priest, And we are often invited to give talks or speak or go to events or things. So he called and invited us to go speak to his congregation. We're like, wow, that's interesting. That's nice. We've never gotten that one before. But we're like, hey, ecumenical relations, you know, why not? So the sisters go and they speak, and it went really well. The priest invited him back a second time to speak to his congregation. And, you know, every time the sisters were with him, he was talking about his grandson, Peter. It was like, Peter this and Peter that. Peter's the apple of his eye. And we just thought, like, hey, happy granddad. But the more we talked about it, the more we started to put the pieces together. So this priest had had two daughters. One of them followed in his footsteps into the Episcopalian ministry, and she became an Episcopalian priest. And his other daughter became pregnant a couple years ago in non-ideal circumstances. And his daughters were walking together one day, a rainy Monday morning, around a pond, and they met some sisters. And were just inspired in that way. And the woman decided to keep her child. And she named her son Peter, which means rock. And it just goes to show that there's no sin. There's no anything we can do that's unforgivable. And these rocks that were the symbol of these women, they're carrying their burden and their shame and their pain and their sadness, were totally transformed into instruments of grace for this other woman who decided to choose life for her child. So there's so many stories we could tell, but that's just one from our Hope and Healing mission.
Yeah, it really shows how God can brings good out of every situation. Like, he's so creative in redeeming us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right, thank you. All right, we might throw to whether there's anyone who'd like to just come up to the microphone, ask a question, and hopefully we'll have some discussion happening. Anyone out there wanting to know anything about the Sisters of Life? You can't join.
Thank you very much, sisters. Just wondering your thoughts on this coming Year of Mercy, how it relates to you guys as a to your charism and your order.
No, we are so, so excited about the Year of Mercy and just, you know, reading up on everything the Pope has to say about it and, you know, the Diary of St. Faustina, and just really encouraging people just to hear Jesus' words to her that, you know, we can't even imagine his mercy. For the rest of our lives, for all eternity, we are going to be in awe of God's mercy and God's redemption. And he actually says to St. Faustina that if you encourage other people to believe in his mercy, then he will personally come for us at the hour of death, you know, and that he will come to us as a loving, merciful savior, not as a judge. So this is a win-win. I think we all really need to kind of, you know, focus on this Year of Mercy. And it's especially important, you know, to our charism, just what Sister was sharing about, you know, our Hope and Healing mission, and just there's the redemption that takes place, and just the miracles that we see, that women that really do just come to peace with themselves, you know, with their unborn baby, with the Lord, and then they become the strongest advocate for life. You know, some of them even become our volunteers, our co-workers of life, and they then walk with other women who are pregnant, you know, and encourage them. And they're there with them when they deliver the baby. You know, they become the godparents to their children, you know, and it's just an amazing life of grace that we're able to be a part of. So it's December 8th that starts the Year of Mercy.
So it's funny you mentioned that, because Sister Therese and I were on the flight over and we were thinking, oh my gosh, the Year of Mercy is starting. We need a countdown. And we had so many hours on our flight over here. We were like, we got to read quotes of mercy. We got to like get ourselves pumped up. So it's in 3 days. And actually, just over at our booth, at our stall over there, we have these papers up on the wall. And just want to invite you all to write up your prayer intentions for the Year of Mercy. And we'll send them back to our sisters. So you'll have 95 sisters praying for you. So if you're more than welcome to come over and just write down whatever intentions that you have. It'd be our joy to pray for you this year.
And I think, too, it's just a great year for us all to be courageous, you know, courageous in reaching out to others. You know, that Pope Francis is always encouraging us to be an evangelical church, like a church that comes out of itself, and just to really trust that when we reach out to others, when we invite them home, when we invite them to become baptized, that the Lord is really with us in that he's just going to be pouring out an ocean of mercy this year and really calling so many people back home, back to his heart, back to the church. So I think it's also an opportunity for us to be not afraid, just to really be courageous in our faith, to be proud of our faith, and to trust that the Lord is with us when we're reaching out to others.
Mm. Oh, watch out, this one, she's a journalist.
She told me she was going to ask a hard one.
Not a journalist, but close. And I changed my mind, it's not the hardest question ever. But I was wondering, as women, when we are approaching the Year of Mercy, as you spoke about, and we do need to be courageous, and your charism is so important, especially like because it is pro-life, how did you decide on your vocation, and how did you decide that you wanted to join the Sisters of Life?
Thank you. Yeah. I know for myself, I was raised Catholic. I grew up Catholic, but I never thought I would be a sister ever in a million years. I thought I'd be, you know, a mother just like mine, you know, one of five kids. And it really wasn't until after I graduated university and I'd gotten a job in New York City working right off of Fifth Avenue. And it was kind of like I was doing everything my friends were doing that the world told me would give me joy. You know, it's like you had the right clothes, right hair, enough money, you know, just having a good time, living for yourself. And I felt so empty. I felt so empty. And I remember thinking, like, is this it? Like, there's got to be something more. I know I'm made for more. And it was at that time that the Lord really gave me a grace. And he introduced me to a priest. And this priest totally changed my life. We'd start to meet on a monthly basis. And he would challenge me. And he really said to me, you know, if God made you totally unique and totally unrepeatable, don't you think that he also has a plan for your life, like one that's going to make you happy, one that's going to bring you joy? Like, what's your call to love? You know, what were you made for? What's going to bring you to heaven? You know, and I had never thought about that before. You know, I thought it was all up to me. I thought I had to decide my own road to happiness, you know, but I wanted to be happy. And so he just encouraged me, like, just to get to know the Lord more, to pray more. He invited me to a Disciples of Christ group once a week where I met a lot of good friends and I learned about the catechism, and I really felt for the first time like that I was home, you know. And he also challenged me to make new friends, like friends that cared about my soul, you know, friends that were going to lead me to Christ. And I remember at the time it was kind of funny. I was like so wrapped up in my friends, like they were like my identity at the time, that I remember saying to him, like, I can't. And he's like, why can't you? And I was like, they'll die without me. Like, I really felt that they would, like, I was like the center of their social universe or something. Needless to say, nobody died. Everybody's fine. But I was able to make those changes and really just put the question to the Lord and just ask him. You know, I remember praying a novena to the Holy Spirit about what my vocation is. And in the most perfect time, he does answer that prayer. He does. It's not like he kind of keeps it behind his back and he's like, oh, did you see it? You know, like, you're not going to miss it. Like, if you really take the time to ask him why you're here and what you're made for and what his plan is, he's going to answer. And it was at that time that I just had a powerful experience with him at prayer. I'll never forget. I was by myself. I was at the beach. It was early in the morning. And I remember just watching the sun rise and knowing in my heart that somehow it was rising for me. And I looked out into the ocean and I could see the waves pounding, and they were just pounding on the shore. And again, somehow I knew that they were pounding for me, that if I was the only person here, that God would do it all over again, that he would die on the cross just for me. Like, that's how much he loved me. You know, and he helped me to understand also in that moment that all of the desires of my heart to be a mother, to be a bride, to be a daughter, that those things wouldn't be taken away from me, but that in fact they would be fulfilled in him by becoming his bride and by being a spiritual mother to many. And of course I was overjoyed and afraid all at the same time, but the Lord just kept on answering the questions in my heart. Again, it wasn't anything I heard, but it was just a deep knowledge. And I remember being a little afraid and just thinking, like, I don't know about this. Like, you know, I'm afraid, you know? And I remember the Lord, again, just answering that question in my heart. And he said to me, you know, I can never, ever hurt you because I simply don't know how. And I remember feeling so free in that moment, that the Lord's plan for us is our call to love. It's our plan for holiness. It's the way that we will be happy and go to heaven, you know, and also get other people to heaven. And so then after that, you know, after being called, that was one thing, is feeling called to be a sister, but then also, you know, what charism, what order? There's so many out there. But our charism is to protect the sanctity of human life. And I remember even that day at the beach knowing that God doesn't just feel that way about me, that he feels this way about each and every one of us, that he has the power to love us personally. Like, he loves each one of you personally. And so the charism just made so much sense you know, that life is sacred, and just to be able to live a life to help people know that they matter and that they're destined for love just really made a lot of sense to me.
I love that. Yeah, it's so interesting. So you know how like every married couple has their own story of how they fell in love and how they met? It's the same. Like every sister has their own unique way that the Lord has called them. And the way you asked your question, you said, how did you know your vocation? How did you choose it? And I would say it's more of like a response to an invitation to love. Like the Lord, like you can't manufacture it. You know, it's not something you can create within yourself. It has to begin in Him. And so it's always His initiative. And then He's such a gentleman. He never, I love that He never imposes Himself. He just consistently, constantly proposes to you and then waits upon your yes. But really takes your free will seriously. So I guess, that was just a thought that I had. But the way that I my vocation story, my story of grace, so I was, I kind of had like a little conversion, I would say, experience back to the faith in college, where I grew up Catholic and I came from a family of 5 kids. We went to Sunday Mass every Sunday and we were practicing, but I wouldn't say that when I left for college, I would ever think that I would be a sister. And I would say that I knew a lot about Jesus, but I didn't know Him. Like, I didn't know Him as a person or as a friend. And so in college, I just met a lot of really amazing young people practicing their faith, and they had this joy and this peace about them. And I remember coming in, and I was like, I don't know what you have, but I don't have it, and I want it. And so I started doing the things that they were doing, you know, going to Mass more regularly and Bible studies. And so I, you know, became more on fire on my faith, in my faith. And so I started, you know, when you fall in love, you stop telling the other person all your plans and you start asking them their opinion. So I asked the Lord, what do you want for me, for my life? How do you want me to spend my life in my love? And I heard Him call me to be all His, you know, to, will you spend all your love on me? Will you spend your life with me? And part of my heart felt peace with that, but part of me was like, if there was like a soundtrack to it, it'd be screeching brakes. I was like, no way, I cannot, but that's not what I thought you were going to say, Lord. It's like, I don't know if you know this, but like, people aren't doing that anymore. Like, I don't know, just in case you're wondering. And I heard the call, but I wasn't ready to say yes. And so I went on to graduate school and, you know, just sharing with you personally, like I got into the program that I wanted the most, and I was getting my doctorate, and this is what I had worked for so long. And a couple years in, you know, something really interesting happened. I was able to realize that I had everything that I wanted, and I wasn't happy. Like, I wasn't peaceful. So I was in the program that I wanted. I was going to have the career I wanted. I was going to be making the amount of money I wanted. I was living in the city I wanted. I was living with the people I wanted, in the area of town that I wanted. I had the clothes that I wanted. I had everything. And yet I was so restless inside. I was like, Lord, what is this? What is this restlessness? And He brought up the question again of His proposal earlier. You know, will you be all mine? And I had a lot of fears, I'll be honest. Like, I had never seen young religious growing up. I didn't know what that looked like. And I was like, Lord, I want to live a life of adventure. Like, I want to, you know, I want to do all these amazing things. Like, being a sister, I thought you just like doing chores all day long and read boring things. And I didn't know that there was a joy and a fun in it and so much more. And so I was talking to the Lord, and he listens to us, right? But He responds as well. And so one day I was walking to daily Mass, and I was talking to the Lord about all these fears that I had and all these dreams. I was like, what about all my dreams? Am I going to lose them all if I say yes to you? And I was like, you know, praying, and I was like, what about this dream, Lord, this dream? And I can still see the day. It was a crisp fall day in Chicago, USA. And there's a cool wind on my face, and the leaves were falling, and there's a bright blue sky. And I heard, as I was talking to the Lord with the ears of my heart, I heard Him say, but I want to fulfill all your dreams. And I was so snarky with the Lord. I looked across the street and I saw a burger place. And I was like, all my dreams, I'll take a chocolate milkshake right now. And the Lord, he didn't miss a beat. He said, no, no, not those dreams. The deepest desires of your heart. Will you let me fill those for you? Will you let me enter into those and fulfill those for you? Yes. Yes, Lord. It took some time to process that grace, but I was filled with a peace and a joy that I hadn't known before. And so when I first met the sisters, I had visited a number of religious communities, but when I met the Sisters of Life, I distinctly remember that these fireworks went off in my heart. And it was like a part of my heart came alive that I had not known wasn't alive yet. And he led me on retreat with them and then made it clear. I was convicted that this was the community he wanted me to enter. So, yeah.
Thank you so much to the Sisters of Life for sharing with us today and helping us get to know and understand who you are and what you do. And let's show a big round of applause to them. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
That was a conversation with the Sisters of Life. This talk is from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival 2015 and was recorded as a collaboration between XT3 and Cradio. And for more from the Australian Catholic Youth Festival and for more talks, interviews and shows, visit cradio.org.au.